Welcome to the show. I'm excited to spend an hour with you. We've got an interesting show coming up for you today. We have got the drummer of the Crash Test Dummies coming up, and if you could only ask this guy one question, you'd have to ask him, where on earth does he get his hugs from? Best hugger in town, I'm going to tell you, bar none. I think we could raise a ton of money for charity just by selling this guy's hugs. But anyways, we're going to talk about more than that. Also with us today, Diana Boer. She's the author of, well, among other things, 46 books published in 26 languages, 4 million copies sold. Today we're going to be talking about her one of her latest books, What More Can I Say? It's about communication, why communication fails, and what to do about it. But first, the fit tip of the week brought to you by vivacityfitness.ca. Well, the new year is coming upon us. Be realistic. Instead of jumping off the deep end and risking burnout by week two, which sometimes happens, set some truly attainable fitness goals that are a bit of a stretch, but attainable. Rather than setting your sights on going to the gym 5 days a week for an hour a day, how about 30 minutes of activity 3 days a week? Something is better than nothing. Start small and let the momentum kick in. How about increments of 10 minutes? That would be great. Rather than starting with a flourish and letting the wind out of your sails too soon, be realistic so that when you look at that target at the end of the week, you can say, yeah, I nailed it. So, hey, 10 minutes is better than no minutes. Excellent. I want to introduce you to Diana Boer. She is, as I said, the author of What More Can I Say? Her specialty is in communication, and I am interested to learn more about that. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's great to be with you.
46 books. Holy crow. What's your trick?
Well, I do write quickly. You may research it for 4 or 5 years, but when you get ready to write, I think just sit down and write it. Let it flow.
Well, clearly you're working on something that you're very, very passionate about. What's the back end of your story? How did you get so excited about communications?
Well, I found that basically every problem that you have in business or your professional life or your family life comes down to communication. It's somebody promised something and they interpret it one way and you interpret it another way. And if you get to the bottom of it, it always comes down to you thought they said something, whether they're writing or speaking or they advertised something, it comes down to a communication problem. In all my years of consulting, it's the same old issue. You know, my boss promised me something, and you talk to the boss, no, that's not exactly what I said. That's not what I meant by those words. You walk in on advertisement, it's the same old thing. Well, their advertisement said, and you talk, well, no, that's not what that advertisement meant. Or even in a family holiday conversation, somebody said something around the dinner table, and somebody else got upset about it, and there's always a backstory. And it just always boils down to the same thing.
It's true.
It's personal or not.
If you probably looked at the top three reasons that marriages fail, it might say different things, but it probably is communication, communication, communication.
Right. Whether you ask a leader, if they come into an organization, you ask them, you know, why don't people change? And it comes down to an emotional issue. You dig into it, and it's communication. And you ask people over and over, you know, what are their problems when why they leave an organization? They say it's change. You know, why you go to a new organization? It's they don't listen to my suggestions. That's communication. Why do marriages fail? Same thing. You know, why do kids leave home? I couldn't communicate with my parents. It's just over and over and over.
Well, and one of the great things about teaching something like this is that you get to, I don't know if it's like you for when you speak as well, but for me, when I'm teaching something, it's like, oh, this is exactly what I need to keep hearing. I need to keep reminding myself about this. And even though I know it on one level, I need to keep talking about it and need to keep, reinforcing it to myself. So I imagine it helps you as well.
Right. That's what keeps me in business. I mean, actually, that's how I started when I did my master's study in writing. That's how I started. And then I just branched out. I had engineers, lawyers sitting in a college course. And I said, you know, why are you in a novel writing class of all things? And they said, well, I need to write engineering reports. I need to write legal briefs. And it always comes down to, I said, well, are you writing a novel or your spare time? What do you do? No, I need this help on the job, and my organization doesn't provide it. And so they're actually sitting in my novel writing class trying to get help. And I thought, hey, this is a big sign, a big opportunity. So I just went out on my own and started teaching 2-day business writing classes and 2-day technical writing classes because there's just such a huge need for it. No matter what you do, and what area of expertise you're in, you have to communicate.
Well, and I think you talk about storytelling in your writing as well, how important that is for communication.
Right. Anytime a CEO takes on a new organization, even if it's a volunteer organization, you've got to rally the troops, you've got to convince them that you know where you're going, you've got to lay out a vision, and invariably that's when I get a call from some CEO who says, I've got to convince them that I know what I'm doing, that I can lead them, that they can trust me, and they want to tell some story about their background, how they got started, sort of their backstory, and they've got to do it with a great story. When they get, even if they're doing it online, it's even more important. They can tell an engaging story. But if they're in an all-hands meeting, and so that's when they want me to come in and tell them all these principles. Because many times they don't even know what a good story is. They wind up narrating it. They tell it all in past tense, and it dies. I mean, they get the facts across, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of dies. And they don't know how to tell that story. And sometimes we'll work all day just on telling one great story. And that can make or break their acceptance, their career in that new organization.
So I think it's kind of cool if we had that perhaps as one of our New Year's resolutions, is how can we improve our communication skills, whether it's with our significant relationships or with our colleagues or in our community life. You've got some ideas for us, and your book is based on a lot of interesting laws with some, trust versus distrust, collaboration versus monologue, simplicity versus complexity. We won't have time to talk about them all, but if you had to pick some of your most important or favorite ones, what would you like to share?
Well, I think the very first one is important. It's foundational. What I call trust or distrust. And what I did is I picked out the things that I thought, and the whole book basically is how to persuade someone to change their mind or change their behavior, because you have to do that whether you're on the job or in a marriage or in a personal relationship or friendship. You're always persuading somebody to do something, whether it's to buy your product, buy your service, or to stay in school or stay married to you, or to buy,
you know, whether you know it or not.
Right. And I picked out the 9 things that either do persuade people, they're foundational to persuade people, or they cause your communication to fail. And the foundational one, the very first one that I chose, that first chapter, is trust. They have to trust you or believe you, or you get the proverbial door slammed in your face. And, you know, I'm not talking literally somebody's walking into your office or slammed on the phone, but that's literally true. If you don't believe somebody, you think they're a scumbag, you just, you know, you're not going to pay any attention to them. And there are things that people literally do that just turn you off. You don't get to first base them. I mean, it's like somebody's going to tell you how to make $1 million and they're sitting on the street corner begging for bread, you know, begging for you to throw money in their cup. You're obviously not going to listen to them tell you how to become a millionaire. They're just things that people sometimes don't realize about their communication that makes you not trust them. So that's foundational. And go through all of those, but that's probably my absolute favorite chapter.
So what do you think? And so one thing that we do that makes people not trust us, that puts that blinder up for people?
I think arrogance. I think when people are arrogant, and sometimes they don't realize how this arrogance comes across. One of those ways is having inside secrets. You know, like some people in the department know certain things. There's always inside looks, inside jokes that they make to certain people but exclude others. You know, knowing winks or looks to this person. Being non-approachable. Using gobbledygook language that sort of only a few people understand. And so, well, I won't go into that. I know some of you don't understand these terms, but just trust me that this is, you know, appropriate, or this is how it is. It says you people are too dumb to understand this, but just trust me that it works. Those are arrogant mannerisms. They're arrogant use of language.
It's interesting, too, because I think a lot of us, we judge other people on maybe their arrogance level or their non-approachable level, but sometimes we don't look in the mirror, and maybe if we asked ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10, what's my arrogance level today?
Right.
We might have a different answer. All right, we're going to take a break, back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Big shout out to TiberRiver.ca, 408 Academy, 1650 Keniston. Oh, I'm looking forward to my visit there tomorrow. Check them out. Always keep you looking and feeling great. I'm pretty excited. I'm talking with Mitch Dorge. He is, you can't even just limit you by saying just drummer of Crash Test Dummies, because you do so much more. Engineer, producer, speaker, lover of life.
You're getting there. Yeah. You're getting there. You've tipped the iceberg of the list.
I know. There's so many things. And I think today when I asked you how you were, what was your answer? It was such a great answer.
That was a long time ago. That was like an hour ago.
Yeah, I know,
over breakfast. What did I say?
You said something. You were riding the wave of a great life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's so much better than fine. Not bad.
Oh, you know, I haven't been fine or not bad in literally years. That's just not in my vocabulary.
Okay, did something happen, or is that just how you were born on the happy side of the bed, or?
I think it's probably a bit of a genetic thing. That's a bit of a cop out. When I was a lot younger, obviously I didn't know what my life situation was. You're just kind of living. But there is something that happened maybe 10, 12, maybe 15 years ago. I don't know what it was. But you walk places and you see the living conditions of the way some people have to live, not want to live, but have to live. And you go, wow, I've got a warm roof. Or I should say, I've got a nice solid roof over my head. I've got a heat in my house. I've got food on the table. Really, I've got the mental and physical abilities to deal with whatever comes along. I'm doing okay. And so you wake up and you look outside and you go, wow, hey, it's cold. I can put on a sweater. And away we go. I've never looked at and daunted by the fact that, oh, geez, it's 40 below. I can put on warmer boots today. And, every day is a sunshine. And I'm always surprised when I go places and I'll be at the checkout at Safeway or whatever, and I'm notorious for giving them a hard time and just asking them questions they're not being used to ask, and they'll say, well, it's cloudy, it's snowy, it's rainy or whatever, and I always tell them that I've got enough inner sunshine that it really doesn't matter what it's like outside, right? I don't care. Wherever I go, the light is on, the light is bright, and I think it's just because I'm able to have that perspective that I'm walking. That's pretty awesome. You know, I woke up, and it seems cliche, but when you live in that spot, it's not cliche at all. I have to say, one of the big things that leads my life these days is I make sure that I tell my loved one, I'll say to her on a daily basis, yeah, I love you. And it's not to be cheesy. It's not to be cliche. It's for the simple fact that I might not wake up tomorrow. I might not even get home today. And people say, well, don't talk like that. You're being morbid. No, I'm not being morbid. I've never met anybody ever who's planned to be in the emergency room. I've never met, right? That doesn't mm-hmm. happen. So I'm just all too aware that life changes in a second. And for every moment that is feeling awesome, I cherish it. I really do. I just go, wow, this is what an amazing place to be with right now. You know, and when I hug her in the morning, that very thing, right? Or when I hugged you at breakfast, it's that, wow, I might not get to hug you again. And I'm gonna make this really worth my while or worth your while, even though you might be thinking, okay, you can let go now.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we have to go to a break, because we could do a whole segment just on your hugs, which may sound weird, but unless you've had a Mitch Dorge hug, you have not properly been hugged. And I think that just with your attitude, how it is contagious, I think that hug thing is contagious. So we do have to talk about that more, back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Recommit. What do you think when that word comes to mind? Have you committed to something and let it slide? What have you committed to that you're not giving your all to? What have you committed to that's not flourishing in a way you'd like it to? Do you need to recommit to your relationship? What can you do to show your partner that you're all in, so appreciative, and willing to go the extra mile to ensure the success of the relationship? Do you need to recommit to your health? What can you do to honor your body, to show thanks for it keeping you going this far, and to set you up for success in the future? Do you need to recommit to your career? What can you do to ensure that you're being as productive as you know you can be, as encouraging to your colleagues as you want to be, or as purposeful about the direction of your career as you used to be? What one thing could you benefit from if you recommitted this month? If you haven't been to a Mo Mondays yet, what the heck are you waiting for? The next one here in Winnipeg is on January 26th. Of course, it's on a Monday. We've had amazing speakers in the past, not the least of which is one of my guests today, Mitch Dorge. You can find out more about him from MitchDorge.com. You had a great talk on Mitch Mondays.
On Mitch Mondays.
Oh, my God. I'm going to rename that. That's brilliant.
It would be. That's a great shout out for me. I'll tell you
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, great night. MoMondays.com/Winnipeg or whatever city you happen to be in. A fun night. Inspirational speakers, local talent, music. And really, you meet the nicest people. Can you attest to that, Mitch?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Every time. I mean, I've been to Mo Mondays twice and both times. The speakers, the people that are there, they're interchangeable. They're all.
They're just people you want to be friends
with. If you sit
down
and talk with any one of them for more than a minute, you're engaged immediately.
Excellent. You did a great talk. You just had people on the edge of their seat, totally riveted. And you really validate what I feel is that, you know, you just have no idea. We have no idea how what we do impacts people. Well, it could be positively or negatively, but to make that positive impact of people.
Absolutely. And it's not necessarily always directed at the people that you're talking to. It could be just your actions, the things that you're doing that's being witnessed by someone else somewhere else, right? Even when I was on Mo Mondays, we talked about Saul Lesh, who, even though I use him, he's not really what the story is about, right? Similarly, a number of years ago, I was up in Red Lake. And while up in Red Lake, I was talking to some high school kids, and the gentleman comes up, walking up to me. He's got crutches. And he looks over at me, and he says, you're that drummer for that band, aren't you? The Crash Test Dummies or something like that? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, are you still doing that music? And I said, yeah, we're still out there. We're still touring, doing whatever we can. And he said, well, when you wrap up here today, he says, come on over. He says, I've got something to tell you. And generally, when someone says that to you, you think that you're going to get a pitch, or you know, that guy's got a real low voice or whatever that's going to be. So you know, I finish doing what I'm doing, and I walk over to him, and he gives me a story about how he ended up in Red Lake. His name is Paul Parsons. He's the mayor actually of Red Lake, and he goes on to tell me a number of years ago that he was working in the mines, and while working in the mines, one day he always had a fear of singing, but he always wanted to sing. And wouldn't you know it, that one of the things that gave him the courage to try and sing was a Superman song, which was
I love the Superman song.
So because he was afraid to sing in public, or actually he was probably even afraid to sing in the shower, when he was down in the mines with the drills being loud and stuff like that, he could practice his singing, but he could never remember lyrics. And so what he did was, is he wrote the lyrics on the inside of his cigarette package, and he'd go down and he'd be working. And if he'd forget the lyrics, he'd just dip into his pocket and he'd take out the lyrics and he'd sing the song. And one day, I mean, wouldn't you know it, they're working in the mine, and there's a big boom. And next thing you know, he's got, I think he said 19 tons of rock on top of him. He's lying next to his co-workers who have all been killed by the collapse of the mine. But there is, off in the distance, he can see like a pinhole of light. So he's getting air. And I can't remember. He was down there for a lot of time, 19 hours or 20 hours or something like that. But he said during that time that I was lying there, he said two things kept him alive. He said the thoughts of his family. And he sang Superman song over and over and over and over and over, right? It was the thing that kept him conscious. It was the thing, because his legs were crushed. And now, as an artist, you go out, you write a song. Sometimes, you know, if it's a love song, you know that it means something to people. Maybe lyrically, it's got a connection with them or something like that. But never in your life do you think that something that you did, something that you wrote, you know, kept somebody alive.
Wow.
Or kept somebody going for a long period of time. Now, that's not someone that we talked to. That's not someone that we had any direct contact with. But it's something that we did that helped someone get through their day. You know, and again, to me, that just amplifies the whole process of everything that you say, everything that you do affects somebody in some way, which is what I think that Diana's talking about, right?
Sure.
It's that thing. There's that connection that when you do spread a little bit of positiveness, and it's not, Yeah, I mean, you can't be positive for the sake of being positive. I always, one of my life's mottos is that you can't be honest because honesty is the best policy, right? If you are honest because honesty is the best policy, then your honesty is corrupt, right? And you need to be honest because you're an honest person. And that's all there is to it. And if you're going to go out and you're going to be nice to people, it's not about promoting random kindness. It's about being kind. And if someone prospers from it, then that's a fantastic thing. But when you realize that all your actions mean something to somebody, sometimes it influences the actions that you pick, right?
Because, and you might never know. I mean, you happen to be fortunate enough to get to hear this guy's story, but there's 100,000 more out there that you probably do not know that we do not know about, right?
Absolutely. And there's also the other side of the coin. It's not necessarily how things that I've done have affected somebody. But you can, if you take 5 minutes and start looking back at your own life and start realizing a lot of the things that you've done, which have been affected by what someone else has done, mm-hmm. right? And you look at your own learning curve and the things that you've seen. And you can even go back to things that your parents said or things that the way that your parents reacted to something, or maybe a coworker did something that just changed your view of how you see things through life. And, through that, we realize that not only our actions, but everyone else's actions, very, very circuitous in how it goes around. And we all end up in this, your day can change so, not to be cliche, but to go back to the, if a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil, how does that affect the tsunami in Japan? It's that very same thing. It's that little thing, that difference that you make in someone's life today, even if it's your own, if you guys are walking hand in hand and just giving that kiss and someone looking out the window at you and saying, wow, that wouldn't that be nice if we could do that? And then next thing you know, they make that effort to emulate what they thought was happiness. Just how it goes around, and we end up in this amazing place. But, not to pull Diane in here, but it's that thing. It's communicating. It's being open and about your ideas, having an opinion, even if it's the wrong one. So what? Have an opinion and have someone challenge it.
Being right is way overrated.
Absolutely.
That and perfectionism. We're going to take a break when we come back, more with Diana Boer and her book, What More Can I Say? Communication Matters to Everyone. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited.
Not be caught sitting around in no jungle scheme, dumb as an ape doing nothing. Superman never made any money, saving the world from Solomon Grundy. And sometimes I despair we'll never see another man like him. Hey, Bob, Sue had a straight job, even though he could have smelled.
I am talking with Mitch Dorge from the Crash Test Dummies. MitchDorge.com is where you can find out more about what he's got going on these days, and there is lots going on. Also, Diana Boer, she is the author of, among other things, her latest book, What More Can I Say? And you can find out more about her at whatmorecanisaythebook.com. Pick up that book if improving your communication in 2015 is something that's on the books. A line I really liked: a logical case informs but rarely motivates. An emotional appeal persuades. We spend a lot of our life trying to talk people into doing other things. And so talk about the emotional appeal, Diana.
Well, I'm not talking about trying to manipulate people, and that's what you think of most of all when people talk about emotion. But you have to use both. I mean, people want logical reasons for changing, for doing anything. But that's really, if you're depending on giving people logical reasons, statistics, numbers, 14 reasons for doing something, that is not going to convince them. People don't do things for logical reasons alone. They may want those reasons, but they are not going to change their behavior, their actions, buy something, do something, unless you touch them emotionally. I kind of go along with Richard Buck's comment. He said, compelling reason will never convince blinding emotion. That's the reason we tell stories. That's the reason when you get on social media, Facebook, you don't have people putting up statistics. you have people telling their life stories, what they did on vacation, what they, you know, things that happened over the weekend. That's what interests us. That's what intrigues us. And so when you want to, whether you're trying to sell something, whether you're trying to get a job interview, whether you want a promotion, whether you're trying to convince your boss that you need to move on or they need to help you present your resume in a better way to get a, you know, to get a lateral move, whatever it is you're trying to get people to do, you have to use both. And when I talk about emotion, I'm talking about just your core message. I'm talking about the way you phrase things, you know, the words. Don't use the hot words, or maybe you do want to use some hot words to motivate them and move them off dead center. I'm talking about your everyday interactions with that person, so that you either turn them off when you interact with them, or you motivate them because they like you. The setting, you know, if you're going to deliver bad news, the setting can either move them emotionally or motivate them or inspire them. All those things are what I mean when I talk about emotion is involved in the message.
I know I was just telling you in the break that my husband and I were at the library and we took out an audiobook called Communicating with Charisma. And just by coincidence, you were one of the authors on that book, which was fortuitous for us. But one of the things you were talking about in that book was creating a presence. And what presence do you bring to the table when you're meeting somebody?
Right. And if that person has warm body language, for example, they move toward you, their gestures are open, they smile a lot, that's an emotional reaction. If you talk to them, they move away, they have closed body language, they don't look at you, again, that's an emotional reaction. You may not analyze that, you may not think about it logically, but that's an emotional reaction you're having in your psyche that turns you off to their message.
Okay, so which is a perfect lead-in, because I did allude to this at the very top of the show. Okay, Mitch and his hugs. Okay, what's going on there? And even Dahlia, who does the afternoon show here on CGOB, we were at, Mitch, you probably don't know this, we were at a function, and I don't know how your name came up, and the first thing she said is like, have you hugged that guy? That guy has the most amazing hug. So where did that come from? And talk about body language, presence, and just communication on a whole different level. I just have to talk about it.
Well, the hugs get me into trouble more than anything else.
She did say at first I thought he was coming on to me, but it's not that. No.
No. It's a transference of energy. Not to be holistic about it, but it really is. It's what I give and what I absorb. And as you know, some people just really suck it all in. They say, "Wow, this is a great place to be. I want to hang out here for a little while." The other strange thing that happens, of course, is that sometimes, and as you know, sometimes they just don't let go. And what happens is that sometimes people are resistant. They go, "Oh my God, this is really uncomfortable." And they go, "Well, wait a minute, that's not so bad, actually." Is this? I mean, and it's one of the first things that Diane said was trust. It's about building trust. Like there's no ulterior motive there, and there never is. It's all about it's that transference of energy, and it's a positive energy.
And it was interesting this morning because when I hugged you, I hadn't seen you in a little while, so I'm talking because that's what I do. I talk, and then it was like I'm telling myself just shut up and just enjoy this. It's like, oh, and I could feel myself just like release in your arms. It just felt so good. And my husband is right there. It's all good.
That's part of executive presence. I know when I coach in executive presence, people think they get really stiff because they're scared. And if I can just get them to relax and say that is part of your leadership, to be comfortable in your skin, you pass that energy on.
It is that transference of energy that you said.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, it's a really hard thing to tie into. If they don't know what that is, if they were never hugged as children, maybe, I don't know what the deal is there, but if they don't know what that is, it's really hard to tap into for them. And because I myself, and Diana probably as well, because that's just part of our genetic makeup, it's for me, it's just so easy to, you know, and the more you need, the more I have to give, kind of a thing. But if people are, if they don't have that in them, it's really, really hard to tap into.
One way to do that is to teach them to focus on the other person. If they just focus on making the other person comfortable, they become more comfortable. As long as they're focused on themselves, it's very hard for them to do. But sometimes I just tell them, when they're in presentation, I'm training for the presentation, I say, don't think about you. Just, you're having a conversation with that person. Forget everybody in this room and focus on three people in here. And just have a conversation with those three people.
That's great advice.
Everybody else. And yeah, they can do it.
Great advice for everything. Focus on the other person. Take the onus off of yourself as well. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. If you like what you're hearing, visit us, yourlifeunlimited.ca. You can grab your tickets for Mo Mondays there on the events page. Find me on Facebook, Stephanie Staples, and yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. I'm the one that's not the gospel singer. I've been speaking with Diana Boer. She's the author of What More Can I Say, the book.com. Diana, if there was just one thing you could let people know, what would that be?
People buy the dream versus the reality. So sell it or tell it. When you interview or give a presentation, don't lie, but select your details accordingly.
Sounds great. MitchDorge.com. There was just one thing you could let people know. What would that be?
No one on their deathbed ever said they didn't give out enough hugs. a lot of people say they didn't. They could have spent one day less at work, but no one ever said they couldn't give enough hugs. So hug everybody. Put your stuff aside and hug everybody.
And be the last one to let go. That's my 2 cents for today. As usual, it's Stephanie Staples encouraging you to live your life unlimited.